What's that sound? It's a Prabhupada. It's my computer. It's Prabhupada speaking. What's he saying? What does he want to tell us? Is this true? Yeah, maybe we had it on before. Well, this is very mysterious.
Tested a bit, but stopped.
Stopped, but it must have not stopped.
Yeah. How do you stop?
Oh yeah, you can't. In Windows 8, they've made it that you're not in control over anything. Okay? Because we don't want to speak at the same time as feel appropriate. That doesn't make us feel happy. Notice so many things. One is that when I say that Zayom Vishnupad Paramahansa prayers, after a while, after you've been chanting Hare Krishna for some years, you learn how to say Zai at the right time, but then let your mind wander all the rest of the time. But you can't get caught because you say Jai at the right time, and also your head is down. If your head was up, people may be able to tell. The second thing I noticed, but actually what the purpose of these things is to bring into our consciousness these very holy places and persons, because it's so wonderful that immediately if we bring our consciousness into their association, then our consciousness is uplifted and we are purified. Another thing I noticed is that it's so hard to remember what we were talking about last time, because not only was it yesterday, it wasn't yesterday. I mean, sometimes when I speak, I say, does anyone remember what we spoke about yesterday? And, oh, so difficult. What to speak of 2 days ago? 3 days. So I can't even remember how many days ago it was. So does anyone remember something about what we spoke about? Everyone remember the cartoon. And it's so interesting. If you remember one little thing, even like the cartoon, it's like pulling a string, and attached to all that string is so many other memories. So sometimes all you have to do is remember one good thing and not remember one bad thing, because it works both ways. So does anyone remember any of the topics that we spoke about 3 days ago? Raise your hand. Yes.
The scientists
are bewildered. In what sense? Do you remember? That test, that double slit experiment, completely bewildered them. Thank you. Because because they were trying to find out
the nature of reality, separate objective reality. And this is a good thing, to try to understand what is real and what is false, what is true and what isn't true. It leads us to who am I, what is the purpose of life. So to try to find out what reality is what human life is for, to question things deeply. But if we use the methodology of using our own intelligence and senses, we can never find out what reality is separate from our minds, because our mind colors and affects everything that we perceive. So in a very real sense, when we look at the world and we see so many things and so many people, really we're only seeing our own mind. I mean, not that there aren't things out there, but everything of those things that we see are interpreted by the concepts and ideas that we have in our minds. And no matter how hard we try with our intelligence to find out what reality is by our own power, we will be bewildered. And the cause of the bewilderment is Krishna's external energy called Maya. It presents to us a picture of reality that is not true. So immediately, if we accept this, we don't have to become confused and bewildered that nothing I see is real, nothing I see is true, you know, who am I, where am I, I can't move. But we should become a little more humble and understand that our viewpoint about what is reality is only a viewpoint. It's a point of view from a particular point, my point of view. And there's countless other points of view too. So this is the world of Maya that's always changing. Not only does everyone else have a different point of view, we also have a different point of view from ourselves due to the mind. And one day we can see things in this way, and then something happens and we see things in another way, and something happens and we see things in another way. So the question still is there, despite our opinions: what is reality beyond my mind? And how does my mind, and how do I fit into it? This whole concept of what is reality. The basic conclusion was that one person sees one thing, and there was one experience that one teacher told me, Lakshmi Moni Matizhi. She told me that she performed a scientific experiment in her classroom once, she was teaching teenage girls, this was like a drama that she had asked two of the devotees in the community to perform. So a father and a son came in, and they had to do some work, carpentry work, on the veranda, on the outside window. And then when they came in to do the work into the classroom, she left the classroom. She found an excuse: I'll be back in 5 minutes or something. But this was all part of the drama, and what happened next was also part of the drama. So there were 16 young ladies in the classroom. And then the father and the son, they began to quarrel over something. It was a drama, so no one has to get upset. But they began to quarrel, and then they began to get angry at each other, and they began to yell at each other. And this was right outside the classroom, and all the students are watching. And then finally, the father got so angry at the son, teenage son, he threw him off the veranda. And all the girls were, and then Lakshmi Moni, he came in the classroom. What happened? again, I want to remind you, this is a drama. And she asked them what happened. So there were 16 girls, and guess how many different opinions there were about what had happened? There were 16. And they couldn't even agree as a group as to what color shirt the father was wearing. So this is the effect of the mind. So what is reality, and what is the methodology of finding it? So that's what we're going to speak of this time. That was the second thing I learned, that this is actually relevant, and especially because I happen to look on the internet at the news. I happened to open up one website, and it was just amazing wars. That's all the website was about. And it was just a typical website, but I think in Ukraine, I think the people were fighting the government, and then had a truce, and then they killed like 5 people. And in Thailand, almost the same thing is going on, but on a lesser level. And in Syria, this is going on, the Muslims are fighting the Muslims, and in this place, the Christians are fighting the Muslims, and in this place, this is just fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. Because everyone has a different point of view, and they're completely convinced that my point of view is reality. So my conclusion, after looking at the website for a very short time, was that some transcendental knowledge injected into the world would be extremely helpful. The basic transcendental knowledge that Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita. Basic ABC transcendental knowledge, if the world had assimilated it, it would change so radically, drastically. And that brings us to the next point. And because today is the appearance day of whom? Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's Kumaraj. And he, following the instructions of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, following the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to begin a worldwide movement, an organization, an institution that would distribute transcendental knowledge to the world, because the world was so much in need of this transcendental knowledge. Because the world is a great illusion, and it's quite dangerous illusion, individually and collectively, individually and as groups. So when you're trying to make an institution, an organization that has such an important role to play, there has to be a spirit of cooperation. Because especially in Kali Yuga, everyone is very individualistic and wants to do what they want to do. But also, everyone is very lonely, because they want to do what they want to do, but they're all alone, because no one else wants to do what they want to do, and they wouldn't even let them either. So everyone is very individualistic and wants to do what they want to do, but for the purpose of this important mission, Srila Prabhupada stressed cooperation. So despite the inconveniences of cooperation that everyone may experience, it's so important, because its main purpose is to distribute transcendental knowledge, and transcendental knowledge is really what is required, and then of course acting on that transcendental knowledge. So if we can somehow participate in distribution of transcendental knowledge, we are very fortunate, and our own knowledge grows. Because and even you look at all the different religionists and
spiritualists, and invariably, once you have a clear vision through Shastra as to the nature of transcendental knowledge and how consistent it is and how philosophically sound it is, then one can actually see that why Prabhupada said that Krishna consciousness is a science. It's not just a sentiment. It's a powerful science, not just a sentiment. Because people have so many sentiment attachments, and naturally everyone likes to be near their own kind of people because everyone thinks the way they do and agrees with them. But if it's based on sentiment, it can be very dangerous. Because if everyone agrees on something terrible, then terrible things will occur. And that's basically the situation in the world. Everyone agrees on sectarianness and terribleness, and there's no deep philosophical, Shastric philosophical, satisfying conclusions. So, as I said, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada took it up in such a huge way, that explaining how important transcendental knowledge is. And one can see that although everyone is convinced that society is making progress, but because the society is becoming more and more controlled by ignorance, in fact, and lacks transcendental knowledge, that it's becoming a more and more dangerous place to be. So now we will try our best to present some transcendental knowledge. The third of the parts of this, this presentation. And the presentation is entitled, does anyone remember the name of the title? Fixed Reality, which really we meant Fixed Illusion, excuse me, Fluid Illusion, and Fixed Absolute Truth. So we've spoken about the fluidity, the ever-changing nature of material reality. And now we will begin to speak about the fixedness of the Absolute Truth. How to find that concept or that truth that the English word is subsumes, that includes all the other concepts and reconciles them. What's the Hebrew word for subsume? Huh? It's a technical word. How else can I say? Includes. I want the example of that best explains it is that, is the phone an MP3 player? Is it a camera? Is it a telephone? Is it a weather forecaster?
All in one.
All in one. There's one concept, the iPhone, that includes and makes sense of all the other concepts. And also, it's so interesting, if you take it apart and you try to say, well, where's the phone part? So many parts are duplicated, you'll never understand it by yourself. Huh?
Consistent.
What's consistent?
The truth. It consists on all these parts.
I'm sorry. I couldn't understand. It's consistent?
Is that system? It's a system.
It's a system, but it's not a system. It's not one system. It's one. There are many, many systems that this maybe this one great truth explains. And it puts it together in a consistent way that you can understand all the smaller dependent truths.
Otherwise, you can imagine, you know, I told you it was a phone. I say it's an MP3 player. It's a phone. It's a MP3 player. Well, that's 90% of what goes on in the world. Even in, especially relationships between husband and wife, it's basically that's all it is. Because people seeing it, both seeing it from the other point of view, their point of view, not being able to agree. So now, is it working?
Yeah.
Fluid reality, fixed absolute truth. And previously we spoke about fluid reality, and now we speak about the fixed absolute truth. Now first, and here first we'll see a summary of what this particular class will be on. This is part three. Our role in parting the curtain of illusion, because illusion stops us from seeing, perceiving, knowing that subsuming, all-subsuming, all-inclusive absolute truth. So first we will have a review. Perceptions of reality based in the mind are maya, relative, and illusory. Two, the Hamsa Avatar's description of reality. So, because the question was put to that the four Kumaras asked the Hamsa Avatar, first Brahma, then the Hamsa Avatar, how do you separate the mind from the sense objects? They appear to be living within each other. And the answer was, we'll hear now, fully, that you can't. You can't separate the mind from the sense objects. You have to give up that attempt to find objective reality with your own intelligence. Three differing perceptions of reality, of absolute reality. And four recommendations to help part the curtain of Maya. So we become face to face with the absolute truth. And that is what we want. We want to deal with the absolute truth. Otherwise, we are dealing with our minds only. Not only, but we are dealing with our minds to the degree that it simply causes us trouble. And what we want to do is focus our consciousness on the absolute truth, because there's variety in it, but it's always the same. So four recommendations to help us part that curtain of Maya. So first, as part of a review, perceptions of reality based in the mind are Maya, relative and illusory. Everyone sees according to his own consciousness. Everyone's perception of reality is not exactly reality, but mixed within his perceptions are the mind's interpretations. Like the mind of a white ant, a termite. Are they allowed into Israel? Termites and white ants. Do they have them here? They eat wood. Yes, the little bugs.
Yes, we have red.
Red termites.
No, we don't have termites.
No, we don't.
You don't have termites. Well, like Vrindavan, the termite. Okay, let's fight about it. We don't. We do. We don't. How do you know we do? How do you say we don't? I've seen it because over the years I've become a camera fanatic to some degree. So I look on these internet forums, and invariably about cameras, that one person will say, "This lens is so great," and then three people, after having one brave person take a stand, they say, "Yeah, this lens is really good. I have it. And I've done this, and that's really great." And then invariably, someone comes around. Next person says, "This is the worst lens you've ever seen." And then they say, don't listen to him, he's from another forum. And then, and invariably, they start fighting with such intensity about the lens, and they it gets so personal about lenses. And this is camera lenses and cameras. They're ready to like curse each other and criticize each other. You should be banned. Almost every single conversation starts off in this way and ends up with a huge fight. Almost every single one. And this is about cameras, and camera lenses, which are more or less insignificant. So there's so much interpretation of the mind. And then someone says, because someone asks the question, should I get this lens or not? So then someone says it's the greatest, and someone says it's the worst. And then someone says something in between. Then someone says, you should rent it and make the decision yourself. Depends on what you're going to use it for. Every person has their own individual. You know, there's such patterns of this insanity. But it invariably ends up a fight. So we don't see reality unless we are seeing that absolute truth. We're seeing our mind's interpretations.
The termites,
yes, but well, first we're going to see Prabhupada.
Condition soul's qualification that he is a fool, he thinks other fools. Everyone, he thinks he's like that is nature. Everyone thinks others like this. He is a fool, he thinks others. These things are not. Nobody has seen God. How do you take the statistics? Say like that, many statistics that nobody has. Many, they have not seen him, but has seen God. That's quite possible, because you have not studied all the men of the world.
Yes.
Then how you can say nobody has seen him? You have not seen the man who has seen him. So he will not admit his fault. He accuses others. Nobody has seen him. Why? He may not have seen, but why you say nobody has seen? You have not seen that person who has seen him. Therefore you say like
this. Nice to see Srila Prabhupada, isn't it? Very deep, very fixed, completely fixed. So the point being that Atmavan manyate jagat, that we see the universe by our mind. We see and conceptualize what is good, what is bad, what is up, what is down, according to our own minds. And coming back to the termites, that what is this that the projector is on? What would you say it is?
A small table.
And what's this? Smaller table. What's the difference between a desk and a table? They both have four legs. They both have a flat thing on top. Okay, but this is a table, and then I start writing on it, and suddenly it becomes a desk. And how would you define what a table is? What's the distinguishing characteristic of a table? Does it have four legs and a flat surface on top? Okay, can you have a table with three legs? Okay, so it's not four legs. So we see this thing over here, this piece of wood, these four pieces of wood, no, excuse me, four, five, six, and maybe a few more hidden, seven, eight. So eight pieces of wood. And when we see it, we don't see eight pieces of wood. The mind takes the concept of a table and imposes it on those eight pieces of wood. And when we look at it immediately, we don't see eight pieces of wood. We see, oh, this is a table. We say, could you put the projector on the table? Put the cloth on the smaller table. But we see it according to the conception we have. Now, if you're very, very cold, and very, very, very cold, and you need wood for a fire, you may see it as firewood, a completely different conception. Or if you happen to be a termite, you may see it as lunch. So depending upon our conception of things, we impose those conceptions on what we see. So we don't exactly see reality. So what is it? What is reality? So that's one of the things that is going to be answered right now.
Be pure. Everyone is doomed to be a sinner.
I just saw this, but it came back.
That is the conditioned soul's qualification, that he is a fool. He thinks other fools. Everyone, he thinks he's like
you. See others according to your own mind.
Everyone thinks others like this. He is a fool, he thinks all that. So these things are not. Nobody has seen God. How do you take the statistics? Can you say like that? Any statistics that nobody has? Any? You have not seen him, but I have seen God. It's quite possible because you have not studied that we studied all the men of the world.
Yes.
Then how can you say nobody has seen him? You have not seen the man who has seen him. So then he not admit his fault. He accuses others. Nobody has seen him. What? He may not have seen him, but why you say nobody has seen him? You have not seen that person who has seen him. Therefore, you see like
that. So, perceptions of reality based in the mind are maya, relative and illusory. That's what we mean by maya, that it is not absolutely true. It's a perception, it's a viewpoint. Now, what is reality? If what we're seeing is very much our mind's understanding, and of course, as we mentioned in yesterday's last time presentation, that the scientists want to use the experimental method to find reality, but what do you do when you discover that the very act of observing affects the thing you're observing? Now, what are you going to, where does that place the whole scientific methodology as finding, as a way to find the truth? We ask for what, where does it place it? In a question, yes, certainly. It places it in a category of non-objective, but subject, at least it questions the whole system. So now we'll describe what the Hansa Avatar's description of what is reality. How can objective reality be known when our mind colors all of our perceptions? This question is a cousin brother to the inquiry put forward by the four Kumaras. And here is the Hamsa Avatar's answer to the four sages. You are an eternal soul, different from both your body and the states of consciousness your mind passes through. The soul, the mind, and the sense objects are my energy. So the idea is our mind passes through so many different states. It's continuously changing. Sometimes, every once in a while, it becomes peaceful. Sometimes it becomes sleepy. Sometimes it becomes full of desires and passing through so many states, sometimes being sleepy, sometimes being dreamy, sometimes being awake, sometimes being non-dreaming and sleeping. But the question that the Four Kumaras asked was, how do you separate the mind from the sense objects? And the Hansa Avatar first replies that you, the person, have nothing to do with either the mind or the sense objects. You are separate from your mind, and you are separate from the sense objects. And the mind is powered by the consciousness of the soul, who you are. It is always entering into the sense objects, trying to enjoy them. But it, because it's not you, it doesn't bring any pleasure. But what is the unifying concept here? That the soul, which is you, each and every one of us, the mind, and the sense objects, they are my energy, the Lord says. And that is the basic meaning of the what we refer to as the absolute truth. It is everything, the all-inclusive reality that includes everything, everything. Nothing is outside of it. So this is the first part of the answer. And focusing one's consciousness on me alone, and here is the answer, how to separate the senses from the sense objects. Focusing one's consciousness on me alone, on the absolute truth, on Krishna, automatically causes one to renounce both the material mind and the material sense objects. And herein lies the solution. Easy to understand, not so easy to do, but easy to understand that we have to focus our mind on Krishna. This is the essence of yoga. This is actually a little early. I cough and everyone is so... everyone else coughs. Why is that? Now, why does that happen? One person yawns and everyone yawns. One person coughs and it's like sends up a signal. Okay, everyone cough now. Why does this happen? You tell me. And there'll be only one question. But there's obviously... it's actually such an intriguing topic that if you're in a crowd and you don't know anyone or anything, and one person coughs, other people don't cough. But when there is a group mind is being formed, then one cough will affect everyone else's mind. The biggest group is to put the consciousness on Krishna. You have the common focus, and everyone's consciousness becomes on Krishna. And then there is a very wonderful working together. You know, in modern success psychology, they talk about having a group of friends and acquaintances, associates, and you form a group mind, a mastermind they call it. And that mastermind is greater than any of the individual consciousnesses. So actually, that's what happens in kirtan, sankirtan, when everyone is focused on chanting and here being absorbed in Krishna's names, the bliss that occurs is greater than anyone's bliss, and everyone can experience that. So that's a bit of a tangential point. So, focusing one's consciousness on me alone automatically, just to be consistent. Oh, what happened there? Come back. Okay, thank you. But isn't it, that's also interesting. If you just talk about that, about how one cough affects everyone, and then someone coughs, everyone's won't enter the group mind, and only one person will cough. So it's tricky. You have to sort of join, in one sense. You have to agree to join ultimately Krishna's party, because there's free will involved in this. So the Lord says, focusing one's consciousness on me alone automatically causes one to renounce both material mind and the material sense objects. Not seeing me in all things, not seeing me in all things, and focusing on anything other than me is false, illusion, maya, and is like a dream. That's heavy. That if we don't see Krishna in everything, we're in maya. We're not, because there's nothing separate from Krishna. Of course, we also act on a practical level. Like one time, Prabhupada told the story of how it must have been during World War II. He was in Calcutta. And at that time, I think the Japanese were bombing Calcutta. So everyone had left the city. Not everyone, but most of the population had left the city. And Prabhupada didn't leave. And one day, as he was taking breakfast, he was eating breakfast, the bombs started dropping. So Prabhupada just thought he wanted to finish his breakfast. So he didn't leave the table. So he thought, this is also an energy of Krishna, part of Krishna's universal form, but not an attractive part of Krishna's energy. But yet, this is also Krishna. Everything is part of Krishna. So when one connects everything to Krishna and sees Krishna in everything, one, according to the Bhagavad Gita, tasyaham sulabham purta, that I'm easy to obtain because you're always thinking of me. And if we don't, getting caught in the illusion that there is something separate from Krishna, and then the consciousness becomes absorbed in that, the mind becomes absorbed in the illusion, and then you have to get all the results of illusion. It's like a dream, because it's always changing and shifting. So then it continues, showing that the Hansa avatar, the four kumaras, the acceptance of, this is, I paraphrased this, because there's a long string of verses. But hearing and accepting the words of the Hansa avatar, the four Kumaras began to worship him. In other words, from this gyan point, or knowing this, they turned to bhakti and saw the Supreme Lord as most kind and compassionate and lovable too. And with transcendental love and devotion, they chanted his glories. In other words, the result of this knowledge was that they had a big kirtan, and they chanted his glories and glorified him. Any questions about that? Point. Okay, that was the. So, what is. Now, here's your examination. What was the Hansa avatar's description of reality? Raise your hand. And everyone who answers correctly, other than Guna Avatar Prabhu, will get a sweet. Raise your hand. So what is his description of reality? Boy, I'm such a bad teacher. No one will raise their hands. Raise your hand if we won't call on everyone, but if you know what his description of reality is and could repeat it internally to yourself. Raise your hand. Okay, that's almost. Raise your hand if you're not sure what his description was. Okay. Okay, we'll ask a few people to say what their understanding is, and their talk, their words, and the conversation that comes will clarify it for others. Okay. Who would like to say what their understanding is of what the Hansa avatar's description of reality is? Who would like to say?
The mind and the sense objects are all mind.
My energy.
Everything
to the best you can.
Okay, if it's not on me, then it's
illusion. Yes. So there is nothing separate from me in existence. This is the meaning of the absolute truth. Nothing is external, all inclusive. And one should therefore focus his attention on the Supreme Lord, even when one sees the different manifestation of the Lord's energies. Just like if you see your child, beloved child's shoes outside, you don't just see shoes. Others who don't have knowledge and don't have devotion see shoes, but you see my child's shoes, and the heart becomes touched just by seeing shoes if they're seen in connection with the beloved. So we'll get into that point, the point of bhakti, soon. And then if you see something as if it was not connected to Krishna, that is what Maya is. That's Maya's specific function. When the lights go on and off, why do they go on and off? Just curiously. Is someone pressing the switch?
No, it's the screen is going to
move. Okay. Is that clearer now? Does anyone have any questions about this? About what their point is? This is a very jnana type of point. Way to get to bhakti. But this is how to get to bhakti. And this kind of knowledge would be so helpful for the world. So, any questions about this? Yes?
You said about the kirtan, that it's like a collective mind. And like the mastermind gave this example that the... And so what about sankirtan when it's just one devotee?
Kirtan means glorification. So if his consciousness is connected to the absolute truth, then something very special happens. If one tries to distribute books or do any service by oneself, by one's own power, and cut himself off from the absolute truth and by consciousness, we can't cut ourselves off from the absolute truth, in fact, but by consciousness, if we cut ourselves off from the absolute truth, we're in Maya. So, if one is trying to distribute books or doing any service, you distribute five in a row or something like that, and then you say, "Hey, I'm pretty good," and then pride starts coming, and then Krishna will cut off the ability until you start seeing that I'm not the one doing it, and then you begin to pray. So this is what it's like to do to any service, not only sankirtan, but the connection with all services to Krishna. It's supportive, perhaps, but supportive of the glorification sometimes. But to think of oneself and one's service to Krishna in relationship to Krishna. Have you had that experience?
Many times.
You try to do it yourself?
Not today.
Every day. We all have all these experiences. And then we get cut off. And then the mind takes over. And then, so instead of getting trapped in the big tangle and network and web of the mind, then you have to touch that and become humble and call out to Krishna to help you. And then things, and okay, Krishna, I'm your servant, whatever you want. Let me serve you, please. See? Not one person coughed. This is a way to cure the group cough syndrome. Is that okay? Clear enough? So we have to become connected, and that's what kirtan does, and that's what service does. It connects us to Krishna, our sweet Lord. Okay, let's go on. So the next one is three differing perceptions of the absolute of absolute reality. So prior, so that absolute reality is all inclusive, everything, but there's still three different ways to perceive that same absolute truth. So there's a famous person in the Bhagavatam that describes this. Who will say it? Yes. First part of it? Vedanti tattva vigyas. This tattva, this truth, for those who are the seers, Vedanti tattva, those who see the truth, they can see it in three different ways depending upon their methodology of approach. If you approach the absolute truth through the mind, mental speculation as Prabhupada calls it, then you'll see the absolute truth is everywhere and everything. It'll be impersonal. If you approach the absolute truth through meditation or yoga, you'll see the absolute truth as Paramatma. And if you approach the absolute truth through bhakti, the absolute truth will reveal himself to you to the more completely, just like the example I would give about that is, how many people, you don't have to answer this, but how many people know exactly how much money you have? I mean, people will talk about anything, but not about how much money they have squirreled away in the bank, stored away in underneath their mattresses and floorboards of their houses and things like that. But so why? Why? Is, of course, it's no one else's business how much money I have. That's why. But who would you tell how much money you have to? Someone who you trust so completely, based on the loving relationship. Only they will know. So Krishna reveals to those who love him completely, he'll even reveal, he reveals exactly who he is, what he likes to do, everything, his complete personality. There are no secrets. Krishna can't keep any secrets. Not only he reveals it, but he can't keep any secrets because of the nature of the devotee's love for him. He doesn't keep any secrets. This is who I am, everything. So that's bhakti, brings us to the absolute truth, reveals, revelates his personality and most intimate nature to the devotees who love him so completely. So now we'll hear about three different perceptions of reality. Illusory reality is fluid and ever changing like a dream because it's based on the mind and its flickering nature. The absolute truth, spiritual reality, is all inclusive and fixed. Yet it is still true that an individual will perceive spiritual reality according to his own consciousness and desires. In fact, we perceive all of reality according to our own consciousness and desires. Did you ever notice that when you're looking for a new mobile phone, you start seeing mobile phones everywhere? If you're looking for a new car, you start seeing cars everywhere. If you're looking, according to our consciousness, we see. We don't see reality. We see according to our own consciousness, and we see Krishna according to our own consciousness too. So what is the kind of consciousness that causes Krishna to reveal himself most fully? Consciousness and desires. So here is from a lecture by Srila Prabhupada. I was here at this time. I was there.
Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. These are This is the three features of the Supreme Absolute Truth.
Oops. Now, I backed it up because right after Prabhupada's short lecture segment here, I'm going to ask you what you remember. So, and I'm going to send a report card to your mother. So better be awake.
Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. This is the three features of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Balantika Pratyalas Pratyam Jagyanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaneti Shabda. The Absolute Truth is one. Advayam, there is no difference. But he, according to our qualification of understanding the Absolute Truth, he appears as Brahma. In personal Brahma. He appears as localized Paramatma, Super Soul. And he appears as the beloved Supreme Personal Soul. According to the receiver, Jagadharman Professor. If you want to understand the Absolute Truth as in personal Brahma, you realize that. If you want to realize the Absolute Truth as Paramatma everywhere, or pervading, you can realize Him. And if you want to see Him as the most beloved, then you can understand. That is the meaning of Jesus-sama. You can realize the Absolute Truth anyway, he is prepared to manifest himself as he desires.
Raise your hand if you, and say what you remember. Raise your hand if you remember something or some point really struck you. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, why not?
Every person sees God as much as his capacity. So if he wants to see him as a personal way, if his mind is set to perceive him this way, so God will reveal him.
He will reveal himself.
To him in a personal way, and the same goes for the other ways.
Thank you. What really what struck you?
The last sentence.
Yeah, what was the last sentence?
God, Lord, is prepared to reveal himself according to your desire.
What do you think about that?
It's very good.
Huh? It's perfect. When you, it also causes us to hold up a mirror to ourselves and see that we're not perfect because I'm not perceiving him fully in that way. Yeah, what else struck you? Thank you. Raise your hand. What else struck you? One word always, whenever I hear it, one word really stands out for me. Who can guess what that, who's into mind reading here? What word? Okay. What word?
Qualification?
No. Yes. Beloved. Oh, did you say beloved?
Yes.
Beloved.
No. I don't
mind. Yeah, thank you. At this time, it was relatively safe. But it's not always relatively safe. Just imagine if you had a loudspeaker directly attached from your mind to the world. We'd have no friends left. No one would talk to us, probably. And imagine if Krishna fulfilled all our desires. There'd probably be no one left in the world. And yet we trust our minds. So the Absolute Truth will reveal to us, devotees, yes, desire to see the Absolute Truth as the most beloved. Radhapallava in Melbourne. So there are three differing perceptions of the Absolute Truth, and now we'll move to part four. What does part four say? Part four. What?
A very long word.
Recommendation.
Yeah.
Recommendation to help to cultivate the smile.
The curtain of four recommendations to help part the curtain of Maya so that we can see the Absolute Truth. Whoops, why did that happen? It stopped working. Okay, that's not fair. I know why. Because maybe you could set the power options to so it doesn't go off when there's no battery. Now leave the tank. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. I like this tangled picture. Oh, never mind. Who cares? Okay, any comments so far while we're doing a technological adjustment? Any comments so far? Yes?
It's also struggling with, he said that if you want to see him as a beloved God, you can have.
Yes, he'll reciprocate with you according to what you want. And it's so... yes, and if we're always seeing enemy, huh? No. If we're always seeing, yeah, again, what were you going to say? He's going to, that means you're getting what you want. It's such a heavy thing. When Krishna is ready to give himself to us, and look what we end up wanting instead of him. Such an amazing point. This is also in the Bhagavad Gita in the 15th chapter about the banyan tree of material existence. It's upside down. And Prabhupada explains the reflection of this material world is situated just like the tree's reflection is situated on water. Our situation in the material world is situated on our desire. So the heart of spiritual life is one of changing the desires. So I find it very touching. Now it may take us a little while, especially Birdsong without his mouse. And no. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, there's a hint of what's going to happen soon. We're coming back. Oh, my secrets have been revealed. Four recommendations to help part the curtain of Maya. And the first one is, and of course there are so many things, but here's just four that came up. First one is, question, how can we deepen our relationship with the Most Beloved so our desire to love Him, to serve Him, to open our hearts to a relationship with Him, and... How do how can we do that? So if we do, perhaps Krishna will be inspired to part the curtain of his illusory energy. So here are our four recommendations at this moment. Harinam Sankirtan, hear about Krishna, trust in Krishna, and sincerely serve Krishna. This is in the place you join. It's such a challenge to the people who see you, to their concept of reality. It's basically just saying to them that we don't, that what we think you are is, you're thinking we're all crazy, and maybe we are, but we don't accept at all your concept of what reality is. It's just coming right out and saying it to them, right in their face, that we don't accept what your concept of reality is. We're going to sing the names of God. Second one. Hearing about Krishna. Some words from Srila Prabhupada about hearing about Krishna. 1974 in Mayapur.
Maya Jamanita Achyam Abhya Rukhajam Abhvayam Narakshasi Muradisha Nadu Nakita Vilita. So one side, the Maya Jamunika Channam, Maya, this illusory energy, is covering with the carpet. It's like we are seeing the deity, but if there is a carpet, we cannot see. Similarly, there is a carpet which is illusory energy. The big scientists, they cannot see what is behind this material nature. They cannot understand. Because the Maya, this wonderful material energy, is acting in such a big curtain. They cannot understand that beyond this there is something else. They cannot understand. Maya Jaunika Chandam Ishini. They are thinking this material energy working, that is everything. Nothing beyond this. The whole world is power. This is one side. And the other side, Agya. Now, who can understand Krishna? There are so many impediments. One side, there is curtain of Maya. Another side, everyone is rascal and fool. And another side, Krishna is beyond your senses. This is the how much one must be alert, then one can understand. Just like the Gosain, Krishna is so easy thing. But there is a process. If we do not adopt this process, then how we can understand Krishna? These are the so many difficult things. One thing is the Maya is checking. Maya is trying to put stumbling block for your advancement of spiritual life. Maya, the Vaidas Chantam. And the other side, we are all fools and rascals. And the, again, Krishna is Adokhaja, beyond the range of sense worship. Isn't it? Unless we become very serious to understand Krishna, it's very, very difficult to understand Krishna. Maya, Jagata, Chandra. So, we have to increase our attachment, our love for Krishna. Maya Sattamana Pratha Jubam Junyar Mudasa. This is also explained. Everything is there. Maya Sattam. We have to increase our attachment to Krishna, our love of Krishna. Then we shall see Krishna always. Reman and Srita Bhakti Vilosanim. Santa Sadaiva is a Jam Shava Sandam. Achinta Gunasarupa. Govindamadi Purusham Tamam. These are the practical experience of Mahajan, Brahma. The Brahma Sangata is written by Brahma. He is Mahajan. Mahajan means the person who knows Krishna. The Mahajans are described, you know, 12 Mahajans. Narada Sambhu Sambhu. Narada is Mahajan. And Brahma is Mahajan, Sambhu. And Lord Shiva is Mahajan. Kapila, Kumara, Manu, Prahlada, Bhishma. The Mahajans are there. So, we have to follow Mahajana Jena Madhatsa Pantha. We should not remain Muradrisha. We should follow the Mahajana. And the sadhu, shastra, and they recommend the most important process is savanam. Chinnadama shakata Krishna, punna savana kirtana. If you don't hear about Krishna, then how we make advance? We have to hear. My Guru Maharaj was very kind upon me because I was very much interested to hear that you know. I did not understand it, actually. I could not understand it. He was speaking in so high philosophical way. It was not. Still, I wanted to hear. That was my only qualification. So, it is the process. During lecture time, if you don't get to hear or you do other things or take rest, that's not very good sign. We should be very much careful. Then we shall remain Mura Dhrisha. Matunatya Dharajata. We have taken the vow to see Krishna, to understand Krishna. We should be very, very serious and do the needful, then our life will be successful. Thank you very much.
Very strong preacher. Number 3. Sweet but strong words from Srila Prabhupada about trusting in Krishna.
My dear child, don't be afraid. Everything is all right, I am present, and there is no fear. Be pacified, I will give you protection. So, this is the exchange. So, there is no need of becoming very learned man, Vedantis, and simply these things are required. You become innocent. Accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead and fall down and seriously. Everything is good. This is one. Simplicity. Believe in Krishna. As Krishna says, Matta-paradaramnanda, Kinchidas, believe, will no more to be your authority than Krishna. When he says, Manvana-bhava-manvakta-madhyādhi-māna-namasya, this is the instance. This is the circumstance of all instance. Believe Krishna, discipline, personal care, here is Krishna. Believe that here is Krishna. Innocent child will believe. But our brain is so dull, we will inquire whether the deity is made of stone, or brass, or wood. Because we are not innocent. We are thinking that this deity is something made of brass. Even if it is brass, if brass is not God, brass is not. Because Krishna says, Bhumi Rabhanaro Vayu Tagmano Buddhi Aparayam Ayam Kitas Bindami Pratisyastu. Everything is Krishna. Without Krishna, there is no existence. So why Krishna cannot appear as he likes? He can appear in brass, he can appear in stone, he can appear in wood, he can appear in jewel. He can appear in painting. Anyway, he can. That is all part. But we have to take it that here is Krishna.
What do you think? Huh? Raise your hand. What do you think?
It sounds.
Huh?
It sounds very simple to be innocent. Don't
you? Yeah, it sounds simple to be innocent. No, what happens if you're not simple? You have to go through so many processes to become innocent again. It's one quality of a devotee. In Sanskrit, the word is sarala, means innocent. Anyone else would like to say what they thought about that and the previous one about hearing? Yes.
It's very encouraging after the previous one.
Say again?
It's very encouraging after the previous one that it said that the Maya is putting stumbling blocks on our way and we are fools and radicals and Krishna is beyond our perception. But then Prabhupada says what he says now, it's very encouraging.
But at the end of that one he was also very encouraging. He wanted to make a point that we have to be serious. But the encouragement was we should hear about Krishna and develop our attachment. If we don't hear about Krishna, we won't develop attachment. Okay. And then the last one is sincere serving mood. This one's really strong.
Wow.
I'm not sure what was on Prabhupada's mind when he was when he gave this class. Believe me, you wouldn't be laughing if you were sitting there.
You prepare to carry out every order of Krishna. Then it is Krishna. Don't make Krishna your order supplier. You become order supplier. Therefore, it is said that Sevaru Rupa, if you learn how to give service to Krishna 10%, then you get everything. Without that, Krishna knows everything. What is required for you? Just like a father knows what is the necessity of the child. The child never begs, Father, give me this, give me that. No. He is simply dependent on parents. very strong. Similarly, if he becomes 10% dependent and serving faithfully under his order, or his representative's order, then he can say Rupa. Srimana Rupa. Srimana Rupa. Udaya. Udaya. It becomes manifest. That's like the sun is rising in the sky. It is not by your order. It is rising by his own will. You cannot say that is my dear son. Please immediately come to this India and make it known. No, I am not your servant. I shall rise according to my senses. So, similarly, if you cannot order even the sun, a creation of God, or anything according to your order, then how can you order Krishna? This is foolishness. Don't order Krishna. Try to serve Krishna. Then you will be successful. Srivana Rupa Yodaya, na paravartam. Krishna has no discrimination that you are inferior, therefore his favor is not bestowed upon you. This is foolishness. Don't become envious of somebody who is getting Krishna's favor. Krishna is favoring him because he has served. You serve, you will get favor. This is one. This kind of discrimination that one is getting more opulence, more success, and other is rotting. That is not Krishna, it is your discrimination. You wanted some rotten thing, you get it. You wanted some stone and gold, you take it. But if somebody wanted to start, I'll give him inside. All right, it's done. This is parava, not parava. It is foolishness that Krishna has favored him so much, I am not favored. If you become just eligible to be favored, then you will be favored. This is the point. Na paravartam. He has no such discrimination. Devan mukhe hi vivado sayame vasvarastada. So this kind of facility, it is our foolishness. It is not facility. That is punishment. Real facility is how to serve Krishna. That is real facility. So we should always have best. That is the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's chant. Nathalama janagana sundayam kavitam bhagavati satam. Namo janmani janmani sari bhavada vati avikuti. This facility is always asked. But I don't want any facility of this material world. I'm not worth to serve you. Still, I'm begging, give me this facility so that I can get the chance to serve. That is it.
Prabhupada would speak very strongly, fearlessly. And part three, our role in parting the curtain of illusion. So what's our role? What can we do? Sankirtan, chant Krishna's name, serve, hear, and trust Krishna. These are the methodologies that we mentioned here, but there are. Okay, thank you. Prabhupada's so strong. Yes. Did you notice? And he could speak like that because he was living it. Thank you. Any questions or comments? I also remember Prabhupada saying, we have vowed, taken our vow to see Krishna. So we should make that our vow. We actually want to use our life properly. Otherwise, what will we gain in life? Okay. Questions or no questions? Yes.
How can we become simple?
There are very complicated ways. I'm the wrong person to ask that question. Just trust Krishna. How could you become simple when the mind is complicated? So chant, read, associate with devotees, become purified, build up your own experiences that Krishna is there and taking care of you and reciprocating with your own with your humble attempts, feeble attempts to please him. And Kali Yuga makes things complicated always. But if you trust that Krishna will take care of you, that's good simplicity. And trust in the holy names, in the power of hearing, the power of association, the power of service. Simple trust like that is very helpful. Thank you. Good question. Any other questions? Yes.
I want to comment that it takes so much patience to become a devotee. So much. Like it seems like unlimited patience.
What do you mean?
Because the prophet says that don't try to order Krishna, but like the nature of this whole world is to order others and try to order Krishna. It takes so much patience and time, so much time to become a devotee.
Well, but in the Bhagavatam, in the pastime of Kadvanga Maharaj, it says it can be done in a half a moment. So we make it complicated due to our wanting to hold on to so many other things at the same time. So but take to the process, that's what Prabhupada said. Take to the process. And yes, we have to be patient, but we have to be determined also and proceed with conviction. If we're all patience and no determination and conviction, we don't get far. So it's a mixture of qualities we need. What do you think?
How can it be in a half a second?
By saying, Krishna, I'm yours. It's very simple. How can I serve you? Because at the time of death, there's not time to be patient. It's frightening. So we want to develop as much trust as we can before practice in our life, developing our relationship with Krishna, and the relationship is based on service. If we do service, including chanting and hearing, then just like even Oral was saying, that she goes and distributes Prabhupada's, distributes books. Bhagavad Gita's too? No?
Not so much.
It's my favorite. But so, when you try to do a service like that one, or any service for Krishna, you'll be confronted with so many difficulties. So many difficulties. So by doing service, it's like the field in which you learn to perfect your consciousness. It's the field of activity, not just the theoretical,
but it's the field of activities that you get a chance to apply all the things you're hearing and hearing about and learning. Because the idea of service is doing something for Krishna's pleasure. So if you try to do something for Krishna's pleasure, then we sincerely, then we get the facility to be patient too. And my understanding of what the sense of patience is that when you try to do something wonderful, you're going to fail 1,000 times before you, by the grace of God, do that wonderful thing. So the patience means that every time I realize the embarrassing truth that I'm such a rascal and insincere, that you get up and try again. So in that sense, we should be patient with ourselves. But without the determination and conviction that causes us to, when confronted with the sad truth about our sincerity and capacity, without determination and conviction, we won't be able to, and the patience in and of itself won't be sufficient. Follow what I mean? Good question. Any other questions or comments? Yes?
As you said, we see everything, I see everything relatively. And so how do I know? Well, I can say it also about Krishna consciousness and about the order of the guru. Everything, everyone perceives it through his own eyes. So how do I know that I see what is absolute in the correct way?
Well, we won't see the absolute completely, certainly, because unless we see Krishna by Krishna's grace. But as I understand your question, you're saying, how do you know it's not just my subjective vision? How do I know it's really real? Even something good I'm seeing in Krishna consciousness. Is that actually the heart of your question?
Yes. How do I know I see through, not through my eyes, but...
But you will see through your eyes, but what you're seeing will not be limited by your eyes. So my question, what I'm saying your question is, isn't exactly what you're asking? Or it is?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So, one could speak about it from the point of view of faith, which is, it's a question of faith, really. How does one faith become strong? And another way to look at it is that, how do we get enough experience to trust that Krishna is there in our Krishna conscious experience? It's not just our mind. And that, all you have to do is try to save Harish from the government. And you told me yourself that there's no way that did you use the word miracle? So what does miracle mean? So you do some service like that. I'm sure there were times that it wasn't fun. You know, the good times when you win, it's fun. But there was a lot of, you know, it was a struggle and a lot of hard work, but it was service. So Krishna appeared in that service, and it was a big service, but Krishna appears in all services. So if someone says to you, how do you know? Now, how do you answer that question? How do you know that it just didn't happen? You know, it just could have been chance or this or that or this or that. Well, how do you know? Well, ask yourself that question. And come and see what you can honestly answer yourself. That wasn't Krishna, or is it your mind is saying it's Krishna? So you come to the points where you realize that certain things are undoubtable truths for you because of your experience. Like, how do you know the mango really tastes sweet? Well, I tried it. Well, how do you know it's not your mind just telling you it's sweet? I did three of them. Well, how do you know it's... You know, you want it to be quiet and eat some mangoes or something. A lot of times we actually realize deeper than we think. We have doubts that come up.
But if we just talk to ourselves a little bit and ask ourselves the question, instead of asking for external validation. Because we say, well, Shastra says that, how do you know Shastra is real? Because we're not from a different culture, this, that, and this, and that. So you can ask yourself that question. You do any service for Krishna sincerely, and he'll come, and you'll realize the answer to that by yourself. Yes.
Two questions.
Yes.
How to be innocent in this crooked world?
Well, even if the world wasn't crooked, I still would have a hard time, to tell you the truth. Personally, so it's hard for me to answer that question about being innocent. But fine, what I would say, that's answer to what Amira said and what you're saying, is, because innocent doesn't mean foolish. Prabhupada is very worldly wise too, very, very experienced. But I would say that whatever, if we try to become a devotee, if we try to serve Krishna, Krishna opens the door to you in a certain way. For some people it's deity worship, for some people it's kirtan, some people it's more study, some people it's service, some people it's cooking. But he reveals himself to you in some way or another through your, reciprocates with your sincere desire to please him. Even though the sincerity may be this much and the insincerity may be this much, he's Baba Grahi Janardana. So he reveals himself. I think of it in terms of he opens the door. So where you see Krishna opening the door for you, you walk through that door. And at least in walking through that door, you'll be innocent. At least in that regard, you'll be innocent. But innocent doesn't mean foolish in practical dealings. I had a university professor many years ago who said, it's okay to have your head in the clouds as long as your feet are on the ground. So there is the, more appropriately, that there is something that's ideally and theoretically true, and then the practical application to our life in the world has to be done with great intelligence, and that the being able to apply the truth, ideal truth in a practical circumstance is called wisdom. But there's another fact in there too, that say if we are innocent, very innocent, overly innocent, we trust too much. It is said that Krishna takes special care of those kind of souls. I know a few people like that, and Krishna makes arrangement for them too. You don't want to have them driving your car maybe in heavy traffic, but he takes care of them in a very special way. Because what keeps us from being innocent and faithful too, and simple? What keeps us?
Doubt.
And what? Okay, but what? One step deeper.
Separate desires.
One step deeper than all of these.
Fear.
Fear. Who said that? Fear. Fear is at the essence of material existence. Fear will be exposed as being very vulnerable. So all these other arrangements are to keep us from our coping with our vulnerable and very dependent existence. So what are we going to do? We have to build up our trust that Krishna is really there and that we are really here, and despite whatever inadequacies we may have, he'll still take care of us. How is that trust ever going to be built up without deep experience?
Mm-hmm.
So faith takes a kind of simplicity, doesn't it? It takes a kind of innocence. Because the whole material world is built to, in Kali Yuga especially, is built to break apart our faith. So our ultimate trust is in Krishna. When things are difficult for me, sometimes I say, okay, let's get down to it, Parijan. Are you an atheist or are you a theist? So, because I'm not very innocent by nature, not very simple. So I just have too much experience in life to be an atheist. I don't have enough. Yeah, it just can't be. So if Krishna's there and he's taking care of me, and, well then, you know, everything is reconstructed from the deconstruction. I'm not sure if I answered your question. I tried. Any other questions? Yes.
I heard of one time Prabhupada was asked, what is your opinion about something? And his answer was something like, I have no opinion. That he's meaning to say that he's presenting the opinion.
Oh yes, of Krishna, yeah.
So question is, if we take this, if we try to apply this, like, Shastra Chakshu, look through the eyes, from the eyes of viewpoint of the Shastra, Guru, or Sadhu, is it a good way to avoid?
Yeah, if you can, if your faith is that kind of faith, and you can do that, then your life will be much simpler. Simple, if you just have faith in Shastra or in Guru, in Sadhus, like that. Is that a good way to proceed?
In times of argument about opinions.
Oh yeah. Okay. First, I thought your question was simple, but now I see it's not simple. Yeah, we have to. Of course, we take shelter of Shastra. Yeah, let's see, the law books is Shastra. But also in the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam, the question is asked by Maharaj Prakrit, one of the last questions he asked. He says, what do we do in Kali Yuga where everything is so upside down and full of turmoil, and everything is contaminated? This is after Sukadeva Goswami has described the contaminations of Kali Yuga. So he says, how do you remove all these contaminations? And Sukadeva Goswami says, Pum so Kali Kritan Dorisham, that all the faults of Kali Yuga can be removed from a person, even though Drav De Shatma Sambhavan, they're situated in every place, they're all pervading in every object, and even within the person himself is contaminated. The Kali Yuga contamination is emitted. And then he says, Sarvam Hariti Tikto Sto Bhagavan Purushottama. The way to do it is only by keeping the Supreme Lord always in your heart. So that ultimately is the practice that Prabhupada was talking about very strongly. Trusting, hearing, kirtan, and servants, and see, it's all a matter of, you can't do that all that Krishna being situated in your heart, and from the other point of view, they're all meant to place Krishna in your heart. And then ultimately at the end of this third chapter where that verse is spoken, Sukadeva says the easiest methodology of doing it, and that's Kalaya Dosinate Rajan Nastya Kumarna Kirtanare for Krishna Mukta Sangha Parambajit. I chant Krishna's names congregationally. Because then the energy, then despite our lack of qualification, the group Krishna reciprocates and makes us better than we are, at least for the time when we're chanting. And then once we have these sanskaras, these impressions in our consciousness, they're ours forever. We know that a different realm of sweetness exists. Well, how do you know it's really existing and it's not? Of course the mind will say things like that. It will say all kinds of things. Chanting Krishna's names, congregation is very powerful. As is the Bhagavatam, as is the association of devotees, as the holy Dham, as the worship of the deities. It just brings us above the mental platform. And it's what a relief to get the fragrance of a platform above the mental platform. What a relief. And that's where we're meant to live, in that realm. Okay, I think we should stop now. Either that or we can turn that light off and all lie down and go to sleep. One way or the other, it's okay. But okay, thank you very much. 20 to 9. So there's one more part in this presentation. Huh? Lights on, please. Now, next to so tomorrow is Friday. We have there's a different one. Different. I don't know when we'll show the final part of this.
Saturday.
Oh, it's a secret. It's part three. Yes, yeah, Sunday. Maybe Sunday. But I have so many other things to show and say.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. If it's simple.
I just wanted to add, when Father Ted says, don't make Krishna all this for God, we ask for him to take away many times with the locked our spiritual faculties. He didn't really die. But only material.
He's talking about material things, but also sometimes we just have to accept our situation and say, instead of always asking Krishna, could you do this for me and move this up to it?
Trust.
Forget it. Just, okay, Krishna, what can I do for you? If your daughters one day say that to you, is there any way I can help you? What do they call you? Ima? Ima, can I do something for you? Your heart just becomes so soft. Yes.
You're the doctor now.
No, I just know a few things about oil.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Very helpful oils.
Very helpful.
This is the book. Let's see. Oh, good photo. Good Vrindavan photo.
Еще translated in English.
I never read the books people give because I'm so busy reading the Bhagavad. I mean, not that I don't read other things, but people always say, do this and do this, and could you do this and could you do this? But whoever it is, maybe start with half of it.
Half of it? Half. One of which?
I can always have seconds.
Okay.
What is that you say? Not the last lecture, the one before. Because for me, I think the most beautiful question that I ever had in the world.
The last one was so heavy.
The last one was so very, very heavy. And I like how Prabhupada said you have a chance to feel like the intonation of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
What is feeling? Where was the last lecture? The previous lecture in Prabhupada?
I think it was Mayapur also, but I don't remember. I need a little water to put on my head.
I just wanted to ask because I heard from Guna Avatar some days ago that you are coming to see me and the Tefet and Mike and Amir.
When is that? Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, is it happening?
I don't know. I forgot about it because my mind's off. But I think so. I don't think anything's changed.
Oh.
Is that all right?
Yes, of course. Just wondering.
Kalindi. Huh? Oh, pretzel. What's this?
It's sweet. All these are sweet. I don't know what that is. I think it's apple.
Bring it, take off plate.
Take off?
You like it sweet? You like it sweet? Like it sweet?
מצד אחד במים, אבל זה לא היה כאן בראש, אלא זה היה בלב. והשאלה היא בעצם איך אני יכול באופן להמשיך לגרום לזה לצלצל מכאן ולא מכאן.
So the question is, how can he carry on hearing the mantra through the heart and not through the mind and the
soul? What did you do that time to make it happen?
Masita ayom o shamata ma'alev masita.
Lo ita li tibia lashlim lemashal tisibubim shel bofer shel jabba o mashu kaze la mashu ta.
What is that?
What is
it? Shuzama otu kshim.
Too cold?
Cold?
But I won't drink water anyway now.
Do you want some tea?
He said that he didn't have in mind that he has to do such and such amount of rounds, or he's not bound in any way, that it was like freely, he felt free.
I say it happened by Krishna's mercy. Independent.
The Vissi Bar, he kept it as a Vissi Bar.
Very good for you.
That's by Krishna's grace. So of course naturally you want to always have that. And I'm sure you tried after that to do the same thing.
אחרי הפעם ההיא לעשות את אותו דבר.
Krishna is independent.
אבל Krishna הוא עצמאי, לא תלוי בך.
So don't think you're unfortunate because you can't heal like that every time.
אל תחשוב שאתה לא בר מזל, שאתה לא יכול לשמוע כל הזמן מהלב.
I think you're very fortunate that Krishna gave you some special mercy.
עכשיו שאתה מאוד בר מזל שקיבלת איזשהו קצת חסד ממנו והצלחת לשמוע מהלב. בסדר?
לכי.
אתה בר מזל.
Is there some here?
Yeah, it's behind Danny.
What to do? You have some rough karma. What to
do? You can see it.
Huh?
You can see it.
I know it.
But yet Krishna is kind to you. What can I say?
Hello.
How do you mean?
Huh?
How do you mean?
Say again?
How do you mean? What do you mean when you say Krishna's kind to you?
Because one day the negative will be gone and the positive you're accumulating more and more, and somehow though it still hurts, somehow you don't go away from it. Mike, after you finish with your run, after we can maybe we can talk for 1 minute. For you, if you chant as much as you practically can. As much as you practically can. Are you taking medication?
I have to go to the doctor to get a prescription. But it's going to happen.
Yeah, then.
Just a bit lazy.
Well, you're fearful. You don't want to do it.
Yeah, I'm fearful. And I mean, I took before.
Oh, yeah.
I took, but then I stopped. And, then Ellie said I should take again. I'm gonna do it.
To do what he says.
Yeah.
My opinion. Amira. I just wanted I think Lamour wanted to, she couldn't come, obviously she didn't come to she didn't come when I went to Ariel, but she wanted to speak at a different time, Lamour. If she wants to speak tomorrow, maybe we can talk tomorrow. Can you ask her?
We invite her to Satsangaka's house.
To come? I don't know.
We are not in contact with her. I thought she was talking with Hemi about...
Maybe Hemi is the director.
Yeah, Hemi is doing the... But if it's suitable for you, she can come. This is an option. She can come after lunch. You can sit with her.
Yeah, that's probably the best option. But I get... I tend to be a little tired after lunch. Okay, I'll tell Hemi. I forgot.
Tomorrow, Mike will come and pick you up.
What time?
Around.
Just before 2.
Before 2? What time is suitable for you?
Maybe just call first.
Yeah.
Call.
What time to call?
1 hour before me. 1 hour before you told me when we will come.
but probably just before two. Are you chanting?
I'm doing that. Both of them. Sometimes more than two.
Maybe she stay with you all the time.
It's your responsibility.
I, all the time I have a conflict with her. We sometimes I told her about chanting at least speak and fight.
Okay, especially now.
Don't they say to me, don't preach to me. Maybe I am a false.
You shouldn't preach to her. She doesn't want to be preached to. You have to be more clever, a little more subtle. Because it's kind, you know, when you push them, they push back. Especially the relationship between. I don't know. The relationship between husband and wife is complicated. It's mixed with other things other than this is spiritual. So it's hard. Unless the relationship is very good, it's hard for the preaching. So she shouldn't be in anxiety now. Is there another one of those? Your sister made. Yeah, a little one. But do they have a little salt on them? Well, I shouldn't take salt, actually. The priest is kapha. This is enough. No, this is enough. You feeling happy? You feeling happy?
Yeah.
Very good. Be happy. Don't fight. Okay. But no more. You have to study. Study more and more and more. Because you like Bhagavatam so much. And you have a good memory. Do you try to stop him from advancing, or you just don't want him to push you?
If I stop him more?
Do you try to stop him, or do you just don't want him to push you?
But sometimes I am with him, like I go along with him. Sometimes I feel like it's creating. Sometimes I don't want to do a lot of philosophy. But he's doing better for me. All the time, I don't ask you, sometimes, you know, I read this thing, you know, I read that, and the, even if I resist sometimes, but I hear it, and
a doctor has to learn how to give medicine when you're dealing with a baby. You have to give them medicine. Sometimes you have to put in a sweet. When I was young, I would get injections. I was always so afraid of it. It's too direct.
things will grow up.
I just wanted to ask this question: how can I help with him as a wife to expand his autonomy? Because he's having lots of pressure at work, and the mind becomes very, very hard. Becomes actually tired. And I thought if he advances, I feel that I'm advancing.
When he comes home from a hard day at work, don't tell him all your problems immediately. Smile. Meet him at the door. Oh, so nice to see you. You must be so tired. Sit down. Feed him.
I already do this thing. The easiest part.
But if you ask me that question, I would ask the same question to you. What one thing that you can do will most help him? It's actually in your power.
What I can do to help him?
Instead of asking me, you know the situation, you know your limitations, you know your mind, you know your capacity. What one thing that is actually in your power to do, could you do that will most help?
Affection of being peaceful. But is this helping in his
future
life? Is this enough?
Ask, what one thing could you actually do? And that was your answer. I'll do it. So you can, in 1 month, you can ask the question again. Because there's other ways to answer it too. You can answer, I should be a better devotee, I should chant 16 rounds a day. All things you can't do right now. So just worry about what you can do. Don't worry about what you can't do. Right now. But don't go, at least until the child is born. Don't go back to no rounds. Okay. I need some water to wash my hands.
Can I turn it off?
Yeah.